The Avett Brothers join us live today. Their latest album is 2012's The Carpenter. Brothers Scott and Seth Avett, as well as bandmate Bob Crawford, were interviewed in the studio by Michaela Majoon. The band has been on a roll of late, particularly at their live shows, but also because of the 2009 album I and Love and You. Michaela asked the band about bursting into the spotlight with that album.
Putting I and Love and You out, it was probably the most noticeable increase in popularity for the band, but it felt very gradual to us, and it wasn't as drastic as of a change as has been presented to us by other folks. Like, I think it's been perceived as more of a, you know, you were underground and then you blew up by some people's standards, and then by others it seems more gradual. But for us, it felt very, very gradual. I mean, that was our fifth full-length record, and we had been doing it for 8 years, 9 years, or whatever. So we were seeing, fortunately, a little bit of an increase in popularity and increase in everything else with each record release. So I and Love and You just felt like a natural step for us.
And that's probably better than just suddenly, you know, soaring upward. Really,
healthy. Yeah. It's felt healthy, yeah, for sure.
It's felt good for us, absolutely.
The Avett Brothers are here today. Their new CD is called The Carpenter. And I'm probably not the only person who immediately thought there's a connection with Jesus here. Hearing the name, anyway.
Yeah, well, we were aware that that would be perceived, and we don't really have an issue with that. That wasn't our initial intent. I think I can speak for the three of us here. We don't have any issue with any of Jesus's teachings. Not to get too religious with it, but that's not a reference that we would have a lot of trouble with. The theme came more from a lot of the parallels we were seeing throughout all of our lives and the building and the constructing and deconstructing of different facets of our lives, from relationships to life and death and all these different things. We started seeing a lot of concepts coming together as far as building. And actually, I brought that theme to Scott, and immediately he started seeing all the visuals for it.
And we have Bob here. Bob's the one that really made the comment that kind of that spawned that for Seth as well. Bob was the one that suggested we're really building each other. We've built each other.
And like you were talking about the gradual build of our band, that we've done all this gradually, and we've done it all, you know, brick by brick, and continue to build it and tear it down and rebuild it and tear it down and rebuild it. And over the years, we're seeing a structure kind of coming up. So that made a lot of sense to us. But yeah, I mean, the idea of Christ in there is, that could be part of the conversation.
The Avett Brothers are with us today. Their new album's The Carpenter, and the first single, Live and Die, certainly has the theme of death in a very jaunty musical setting. Let's hear that one right now. We have a great performance with the Avett Brothers today on the World Cafe.
Prove it.
World Cafe, the Avett Brothers doing Live and Die from their new album called The Carpenter. So what was the transition like from just thinking you were in it to do rock music to changing and going in another direction?
Once again, kind of like the changes of recent, they were gradual. We did it. We kind of put our toe in and performed some in the early days of it. It was just Seth and I with a banjo and a guitar, and we would sometimes play on the street, and then we would take just a hi-hat with us. Sometimes we would play before our own band. Sometimes we'd perform for other bands. Sometimes we'd perform house parties. We did take little trips to the coast or to the mountains or to even literally shopping centers and performed in parking lots. We'd perform anywhere. What we saw was our the range of people that were coming over and sharing the moment with us was broadened quite a bit. We noticed that people weren't turned off by the volume and the distortion and the attack that we were used to in the rock music that we did play, and we immediately recognized that and identified that with something that we wanted to follow. And from there, it wasn't long before we met Bob, and that would have been in 2001 or 2000. Did we meet in 2001?
We met in March of 2001.
Yep, immediately Bob started basically gambling with his own future with us.
The truth is, I had no future at the time.
Well, nobody really does.
I was gambling with my present.
We all know now that nobody has a future, but at the point, we believe that people did have futures.
Speaking of macabre.
But Bob, I mean, he just threw all his chips in and did these amazing business moves with us, like booking our first tour and saying, oh, if we do this, we'll do that, and here we should try this and we should try that. You guys can't do this if you don't get on the road. And we were clueless to that. So that's kind of how it got going. And from there, after our first tour, which we took in a pickup truck and camped nightly and it took us from New England over to Chicago and back home. So from North Carolina up, that was in 2002. We had been playing locally from 2001 to 2002, and then 2002 we took our first true proper tour, and we just had to. We were obligated to return to all the places we went to, and that's why we've never stopped that stream of follow.
Well, certainly your uninhibited joy and energy on stage it's become legendary. Infectious. It's incredible. Which brings us to having you perform another song for us.
Okay.
I went on search for something true. I was almost there when I found you. Sooner than my fate was wrote, a perfect blade slid my throat, and beads of lust released into the air. When I woke, you were standing there. Just
search for something real. I traded what I know for how I feel. But the ceiling and the walls collapsed upon the darkness I was trapped. And as the last of breath was drawn from me, light broke in and brought me to my
That's the Avett Brothers with a live performance of another song from their new CD, The Carpenter. So how important has Rick Rubin been? He's produced the last record and this one in combining and balancing the acoustic rootsy side and the pop side and the rock and all the rest of it.
He has helped us to understand the benefit of the experiment of really fleshing out an idea and finding out if it's a good idea or a bad idea. Instead of just assuming that it's bad and just discounting it. So with I and Loving You, there was a lot of learning going on, which made it kind of a painful process at times, for me anyway. Because with us doing it for so long, just on our own, and Bob will attest to this, our rhythm was, technically speaking, like our rhythm was just so bizarre. And just me and Scott and Bob, We were like one voice. So we'd speed up, slow down, speed way up, slow way down, and I would never even notice it because all three of us got to a point where it was like our pulse, all three of us. And I and Loving You was the first time that we kind of deconstructed that a little bit and said, well, how does it sound to someone that isn't Seth, Scott, or Bob? And why is this maybe not working at times where it could work better? And that's just one example of like a technical thing. But overall, Rick brought a lot of spirit and a lot of calm and a lot of joy to the end result.
Did he also suggest the musical saw on Winter in My Heart? That's an instrument you don't hear that much. I dearly love it.
Yeah, it's a beautiful instrument. I think it's pretty hard to wrangle in, but people that can do it, they blow my mind. Actually, I think that was Ryan Hewitt's idea. Was it yours?
Scott Avett. Okay. I think that was
Scott's idea.
I think that was Scott Avett's idea.
There you go.
I think that one of the reason I even say that it doesn't really matter, but the point is I would say 90% of the instrumentation, like the primary, the upfront instrumentation on the past two records, I know that it probably, it may seem that the producer or the engineer have come in and changed some things that we used to do, but I would say 90% of it is our call. We've been the ones that have brought these, you know, like tuba on one of the songs in I and Loving You. That was purely our idea. The saw just seemed right for.
Yeah. And I remember that now. My mistake. I'm saying that because Ryan knew the guy. Scott was like, oh man, you know, maybe saw good. And Ryan was like, I know the guy, and he did.
Yeah, Ryan was a huge help because we were trying to take a fella off the street in Asheville.
Yeah,
So we tracked down this street performer in Asheville, and then we found out that he had relocated to Los Angeles, and so we called him, and he wasn't anywhere to be found, and so we ended up, our engineer was great enough to find a fella that did play the song.
It is perfect in the spot, though, I think. It's a beautiful instrument.
Talk a little bit more about that song.
In the realm of Tom T. Hall songs, or in the beautiful simplicity of like I Care or I Love, I would hope that Winter in My Heart is just a very simple song about depression, using more childlike or simple-minded approach to trying to visualize or...
lend imagery to it.
Yeah, yeah. Put the imagery to depression and how it may feel and how confusing it can feel.
Let's hear that one right now. We have a great performance with the Avid Brothers today on the World Cafe.
It must be winter in my heart. There's nothing warm in there. Oh. I miss the summer and spring. Floating yellow leaves are falling. Million colors fill my eyes. The Roman candles and the stars. The calendar says July 4th. But it's still winter in my heart. They say
Avid Brothers performing a song from their new album, The Carpenter, live performance. And we have them here to talk about this new album. So we talked about getting along or not getting along as brothers. What about the other relationships you have, how they're affected by being on tour? I mean, you guys are all married, right? Women must be throwing themselves at you at this point, or maybe even all along the way.
We kind of keep ourselves
locked up.
Yeah, kind of locked up. There really isn't really much of an opportunity for a woman to throw herself at any of us. We have that all that kind of stuff pretty much controlled. And even if that were a possibility, that you know, none of the other guys in the band would really allow it. Like,
yeah,
what are you doing?
We call each other out quite a bit.
They're your protectors.
Yeah. From ourselves.
Another reason we're very lucky early on to travel, you know, basically from 2001 till 2008 or 9, we flew wild and completely on our own schedule, at our own pace. And we got in a lot of trouble during that time, and we made a lot of mistakes that would have certainly compromised our quote-unquote career if we had been on a bigger stage. So we made all the same mistakes that I think anybody that does those things make. And you deal with whatever addictions you deal with, however you do, on a daily basis. But overall, we've learned kind of as a whole, as this this unit of guys, we know how to allow that to flex when it's right to say, yeah, we all need to enjoy this moment, guys. We all need to celebrate over a drink. Or, guys, we need to get in bed now because we have a huge day tomorrow, and our obligation is to these fans. We met Tom T. Hall, another reference to him. We met him years ago when we were in the thick of this sort of carrying on as we did. And he said, I don't know if he saw it on our faces or if he saw us drinking, but maybe that's a little revealing. But he said to us, and we met him for, this was the first time we met him, literally 3 or 5 minutes, and he said, boys, I worked for 34 years on the road. I've been retired for 6 years. He said, I was on the road for 34 years. I've been retired for 6. He said, I want to tell you this. Have fun getting there, but know that when you get there, it's time to work. And that was all he said. So we were like, oh, man, what does that mean? But yeah. we kind of gathered that it meant this isn't our party. This is, and we got to have fun to do our work well, but it's not our party. It's their party.
Well, he sounds like a good mentor, especially since you love his music so much to begin with.
Oh, I'll tell you what. Absolutely.
Yeah, can't even put it into words.
Which brings us to having you perform another song for us.
Okay.
every night after and every day since. I found myself crying when the memory hits. Sometimes it knocks me down, sometimes I can just put it away. Down in my mind where I don't care to go, the pain of a lesson is letting me know. If you have love in your heart, let it show while you can. Yes, now I understand, but now my only chance to talk to you is through my prayers. I only wanted to tell you I care.
The Avid Brothers performing live. They have a new album called The Carpenter. Thank you so much for a great album and a great chat today.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's our pleasure. Thanks for taking some time for us.
And our thanks to Michaela Majune and to the Avid Brothers. The session will be up at our website at worldcafe.npr.org. We'll be back in a moment on The World Cafe.